Well, the dinner is in full swing. It's just a few days after Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and only a few days before Jesus will be arrested, tried, and crucified. Lazarus is there sitting at the table with Jesus, who's been given a dinner in his honour. I'm not quite sure what they were talking about, whether it was Lazarus' experience of heaven. Perhaps he was asking Jesus why he'd had to come back. I don't know. And Martha is happily and willingly serving. When Mary, the other sister, gets up from wherever she was sitting, she's full of love and worship for Jesus. She takes a pint of nard, an expensive perfume. We're told it was worth 300 denarii. 100 denarii more than it would have taken to feed the 5,000. It was very costly, very precious. She breaks the jar. She anoints Jesus' hands and head and feet, takes off her head covering, shock, horror, lets down her hair, even worse, and wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. I suspect that most of us ladies here tonight would have a bit of a problem doing that, but there we are. She lets down her long, long hair and wipes Jesus' feet. Why did she have this expensive perfume? Had she kept it for her own wedding? Had she kept it for her own funeral? We're not told. All we know is it was very costly and very precious. She took the most precious thing that she owned and gave it to Jesus. And that's what real worship is. Taking the most precious thing that we own and giving it to the Lord. Why did she do this? Well, I believe that she was outwardly expressing the deep sense of gratitude that she felt within her for all that Jesus had done. Isn't that what worship is? Showing on the outside as well as on the inside how grateful we are for what Jesus has done for us. Why was she so grateful to Jesus? We're told in John chapter 11 and verse 5 that she knew that she was loved. It says, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. She was loved by the Son of God, the Lord of heaven, who often came to her house and the house of her sister and brother to share fellowship, to rest. She was loved. She knew that she was valued and respected. Jesus treated her with a respect that most other men would not have done. He allowed her to sit at his feet and learn about God and the scriptures, even though she was a woman. And that just wasn't the done thing. You don't talk to women, you don't allow women to sit next to you, and you certainly don't talk to them about God or about the Old Testament because, well, we all know that women just aren't clever enough to think about things like that, and they should just be at home doing the dishes. Jesus treated her with respect. Jesus had brought her brother back from the dead and turned her sadness into joy. And she had received and believed in the promise that Jesus was the resurrection and the life, who would take her into eternal life, even if she died. When Mary realized all that Jesus had done for her, she worshipped him. Her worship was humble and reverent. In order to wash somebody's feet and dry them with her hair, you have to kneel down. She was prepared to kneel at his feet Not something we do very often. But she was prepared to do it. It was very intimate worship. The only time that a lady was supposed to take off her head covering and let her hair down was when she was with her husband. But she was prepared to show him her love in this way. It was unselfconscious. I don't think she got up and looked around and thought, is anybody looking at me? Oh dear, I'm going to take my head covering off. I'm going to let my hair down. I'm going to start drying Jesus' feet with my hair. Is anyone watching? No, it was unselfconscious. And it was worship that was costly. What a wonderful picture. And then into this wonderful scene comes what I've called the fly in the ointment. This morning we had the elephant in the room, which is quite a large animal. Tonight we've got the fly in the ointment. And as I was reading this, I was challenged for myself by what happens next. I think it's going to be a challenge probably for all of us, what I'm going to say next, but I'm speaking to myself as well. The other Gospels tell us that the disciples start muttering. And then Judas, he is the one who is vocal in his criticism. He's looking to see what's going on. He doesn't like what he sees. And so what does he say? What a waste of money. What's she doing this for? She could have spent the money more wisely. She could be helping the poor. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds good. But why did Judas criticize? Didn't he want the people around to think that he was superior to them? Did he want the people around to think that he was more spiritual than they were? Did he want the people around to think that he was much kinder and full of social action and justice than they were? Jesus knows his true motive and says, be quiet. Leave her alone. He knows that Judas has got a totally wrong motive because he's a thief and a robber and a betrayer. And then I thought to myself, and I didn't like this thought very much, can I be like Judas? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to give me any times and places or events. But when was the last time that I, you, criticized the way a person or a church worships or worshipped? I'm not going to tell you, but I can tell you I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I go to churches and I think, oh, that was terrible. I sit through services and I think, didn't like that. Don't think that was right. Why do we do it? Is it just because we don't like it? And we'd rather it was done our own way? Is it because we felt uncomfortable by it? I'm sure Judas must have felt very uncomfortable by seeing a lady fling off her head covering, throw down her hair and start kissing someone's feet and putting perfume all over them and wiping them with their hair. He was uncomfortable. It's not the way we do things around here. Do we just feel that it was unhelpful? Just occasionally, we might think, I'm not really quite sure that's what the Bible teaches. Do we criticize because we want our own way? Because we want to be seen as more spiritual, superior, or out of real concern for what's going on? And then how do we say it? If I don't like something, don't agree with something, Do I go up to the pastor, the worship leader, the preacher and say, "Oi, didn't like that. Terrible tonight. Don't think you should do it that way." Or do we go up and say, "I hope you don't mind me saying, but you know what you did tonight? I thought that was a bit odd, a bit strange. Can you tell me why you did it?" And are we prepared to be discreet, gracious and listening and ready to change? And perhaps it's the same for those of us who perhaps occasionally get criticised. We just turn around and say, "Well, I did it because I wanted to do it that way." Or do we say, "Oh, I'll listen to you"? You see, criticism is the fly in the ointment that can totally ruin the time that we'd meet for worship. There was this wonderful time of Lazarus and Jesus talking, there's Martha serving, there's Mary worshipping, and all of a sudden, everything seems to be spoilt. Let's ask God to help us to be gracious on those times when we're prepared to be a bit critical. Let's not spoil things, but let's be kind and listening. So back to the more encouraging bit. Why are we here to worship tonight? Do we know, like Mary, that Jesus loves us? Do we really know that? Maybe there's someone here tonight who doesn't know that Jesus loves them. The Bible says, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." We can all say that sentence. No one is missed out. The Son of God loved me. He loved you. And when we realize that, we worship him. Are we his friends? Have we welcomed him into our hearts and into our homes and into our lives? Again and again, Jesus went back to Bethany to spend time with this family. He loved being with them. He was made welcome. Revelation 3 and verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door and lets me in, I will come in and dwell with them." Jesus doesn't come and go. He stays with us forever. Are we his friends? If we know his friendship, we will want to worship him. Do we know that he cares for us in every situation? When Lazarus was ill, who did Mary and Martha send for? Jesus. They knew that he cared for them so much. And he helped them through the most difficult of situations. Peter wrote, "Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you." And when we know his love and his care, even through the most horrible times of life, we will worship him, even if it's costly. And have we put our trust in him? And do we know, like Mary and Martha, that he is the resurrection and the life? Who, even if they die physically, will take them home to heaven. When we know that, we will worship. How do we respond tonight? Will we be like Lazarus and sit with Jesus? Will we be like Martha and serve him? Not grudgingly, like the first time round, but happily and willingly. Will we learn of him, like Mary, sitting at his feet? Will we give him the most precious thing that we own as an act of worship? And what is the most precious thing that we own, that we give to him as our act of worship? Ourselves. It's ourselves. In very well-known verses from Romans, we read this. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, when you think about all that God has done for you and all that he means to you, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The fragrance of Mary's offering filled the house. I'm sure that for at least a few weeks, every time you went in, you'd go, Mary was here. Remember what she did? I'm sure that it stayed on Jesus. Perhaps this is me being fanciful, but as I was thinking about this the other day, I thought Jesus' body was covered in this beautiful perfume. And he said that Mary had done this in honor of his burial. And I just wondered that as he was on trial, could he still smell this fragrance that she had poured upon him? What a comfort that would have been. I don't know, maybe that's me being fanciful, but I just thought, wouldn't it be great if as he stood there on trial, being mocked and beaten, he could think, I remember what Mary did for me. It stayed on Mary. It must have stayed on her hands and on her clothes, and so wherever she went, people would have smelt the fragrance. We cannot spend time with and worship Jesus without it affecting us. The fragrance of our worship will stay. I'm a great lover of Agatha Christie. But even I know that some of her plots are a little bit woolly and don't quite make sense. And this is one. Well, this is what I think anyway. I won't tell you which story it is in case you want to read it. But there's one story in which the murderer is a man. And he wants to make it look as if the murderer is a woman. So before he strangles the person he's going to strangle, first of all he puts some lipstick on a cup. And then he sprays some perfume in the air. Goes out to meet his friend and pretends that nothing has happened. Now, see, I don't get this. Now, whether it's just me, but every time I spray perfume in the air, I get some on my fingers. So I wouldn't go to go out and pretend I haven't sprayed perfume in the air. Every time I spray the room fragrance, I get some on my hands, so wherever I go, I can smell it. See, fragrance sticks. I know, because I work in playgroup. All right? Fragrance sticks. Whether it's good or bad, it sticks. We carry the fragrance of Jesus with us wherever we go. Like perfume, not everyone will like the smell. You know, some people, they'll spray a bit of perfume and they'll say, oh, that's lovely. I do like that. And someone else will say, don't like that much, it's horrible. Smell is very important. I'm going to be say something about my husband now, he's outside listening. If he smells a pasty, he's in the shop. If I smell a pasty, I'm running in the opposite direction with my hand over my mouth. He once bought one from the shop near the arcade. It was so hot he couldn't eat it. So he put it on my lap and said, look after it. Within 5 minutes, I'm throwing the thing over the back because I feel quite sick. I don't like the smell of pasties. To him, it's an attractive smell. To me, it's horrible. I love going down to Bridge End to do some shopping at the outlet. But there's one thing I don't like, the donut stand. It smells, as far as I'm concerned, greasy, sweet, and disgusting. Yet there is always a queue of people who think the smell is amazing and are waiting to buy half a dozen. You see, we carry the fragrance of Jesus with us. And Paul writes, wherever we go, we represent Jesus. And some people will look at us, and in the nicest possible way, smell us. And to some, we will be the smell of life. And to some, we will be the smell of death. In this room where Mary was worshipping, some people thought it was wonderful. Judas didn't do anything for him at all. But some people will say our love of Jesus, our worship of Jesus, our life of service is a waste of time and nothing but a nasty smell. But we carry on loving Jesus. We carry on serving Jesus, as we were told this morning. We carry on worshipping Jesus, giving our lives to the one who gave everything for us. Because although to some they might not like the smell, to others it will be something that is a blessing and an encouragement. In one of the other Gospels, Jesus says, wherever the Gospel is preached, what Mary has done will be told. I don't think Mary did it because she knew she was going to be famous. We worship Jesus, and we don't know what the results will be. We give our lives to Jesus. Who knows what God can do with them? From something small, from something costly, it can make such a difference. When we leave here later, wherever we go, will people know that we have been worshipping Jesus? I want to read as a prayer this song. And then when I've read this as a prayer, I'm going to sing a song that I'm sure we all know, that reminds us of all that Jesus has done and our response to him. And maybe, perhaps for the first time, you're going to realize what Jesus has done. And you want to put your trust in him. You want to know that he cares for you and will lead you into heaven. Maybe you just need to be reminded tonight of God's wonderful love. Maybe you need to see afresh that you need to rededicate your life to him. And so I'm going to read this song as a prayer and then sing. And if you want prayer, if you want help, if you want strength, just come down to the front either now or at the end of the service, and someone will love to talk to you, pray with you, and encourage you. This is what the song says. May the fragrance of Jesus fill this place. Lovely fragrance of Jesus, rising from the sacrifice of lives laid down in adoration. May the glory of Jesus fill his church. Radiant glory of Jesus, shining from our faces as we gaze in adoration. May the beauty of Jesus fill my life. Perfect beauty of Jesus, fill my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my all I give in adoration. What's the costly thing that I am going to give to Jesus tonight? That you are going to give to Jesus tonight? Let's pray that it's our lives, day by day.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look at the cross where you died, humbled by your mercy, broken inside. Once again again I thank you. Once again I pour out my love. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I'll marvel at your saving grace. I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look on the cross where you died, humbled by your mercy, broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my love. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look at the cross where you died, humbled by your mercy, broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my love. Once again I look at the cross where you died, humbled by your mercy, broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my love.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful love. We thank you for all that you have given to us. We thank you for Jesus our Savior, the resurrection and the life, the one who will never leave us or forsake us, the one who cares for us in every situation. And Father, we pray tonight that whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, that we see your love, that we will pour out our love and give you our lives in return. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, as we leave this place, may we know and trust in your love. May we know and rest in your care. And may we go and serve in your name, to witness, to work, and to worship. To your glory we pray. Amen.